Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell, in with you this morning. Flying solo again. Coaches will be back in next week. Thanksgiving weekend. People are everywhere. But what a beautiful Saturday. What a beautiful couple of days it's been, actually. Not too bad yesterday. Temps in the 60s. Not too bad out there right now. Good day to get out and do some things. But hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I know we did. Eat a lot. Then try to figure out how you're going to get it off your belly. But enjoy being with the family, grandkids. We were with our two in Chattanooga. Me and Stacy were for about 5 days. I hadn't done that in a long time. It took me a while to get over the shock of having a two-year-old and a six-week-old. But we made it through. Made it back home. Made it back to Thanksgiving. So I'm starting to get my legs back on the ground. Get my feet on the ground and getting back to reality a little bit of what we do each and every day. But man, come back a little foggy headed. It's rivalry week in college football. This week started on Thursday with the Egg Bowl, and then a couple of games on Friday and Friday night, and then today's a big day. So if you love college football, you're going to love today. There'll be games on everywhere. Should be some really good games on, starting at 11 a.m. We'll tell you your schedule coming up a little bit later on. Speaking of rivalries, Tuesday night, Tigers had their own rivalry for the week as they went over to Adamsville, but they had a couple of games before that. We'll talk about that as they were in Clifton on Saturday and back home on Monday as Walnut, Mississippi came into town. And then, of course, over to Adamsville on Tuesday. Also, the semifinals of the TSSAA playoffs were last night. And teams punched their ticket to go to Chattanooga. And we'll take a look at scores from last night's high school football. One area team going to play for a state championship. We'll tell you who that is coming up in just a bit. And also take a look at your SEC schedule as well coming up. And then what's ahead for basketball. So stay tuned. Keep it right here. We're going to toss some Tiger basketball. That's headed your way with Coach Brandon Kirk of the Lady Tigers. That's next right here on Sports Talk 93.5 FM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell, in with you this morning. Forgot my coffee. Worst thing that could happen. Well, not the worst, but, you know, for somebody that loves coffee, that was pretty bad. How do you forget your coffee when you're a coffee drinker? I have no idea. Hey, if you ever miss Sports Talk or want to go back, you can catch it on our archives on at WKWXFM.com. Go to our sports podcast right there. You can get all the past Sports Talks. Or if there's a game that you missed and we've videoed, they're also right there under live streaming. You can go back and watch a game anytime you want. So, in saying that, let's bring in Coach Brandon Kirk of the Lady Tigers. And Brandon, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thursday and a good off week this week. And then everybody will get geared back up to get back in action on Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We've had a good one. Had a busy one, but had a good one.
Well, I wasn't able to be at any of the games with Bill, but I listened on my app while I was out of town. And started on Saturday with Clifton and then Monday with Walnut, Mississippi, and then over to Adamsville before we took a few days off. So we'll start with Clifton, listen to a little bit of that, but looking at the score, doesn't seem like you had a whole lot of trouble. 43-11 was the final.
I thought we played fine there. I thought we didn't play to the level of the competition. That's what I was worried about, is us coming out and just, you know, going through it and looking forward to Adamsville, really. And we played well. We had a lot of girls that didn't play a lot of minutes in the first game come in and contribute in big ways. Hannah Miller had a really good night that night. And we had several others off the bench that came in and contributed. And then our defense was just, that's what I was wanting to see, just would we play with defensive intensity that whole game. And we did, and it was, you know, it was a good win. It was a good win for confidence reasons, and it was a good win for some of these non-starters to get in and get some minutes and get some confidence going.
Well, it's been a while since Hardin County has been over at Clifton. I can't remember the last time. I do remember, I think, my middle son, Alex, when he played. I think we went over there and played, but I don't know that it was a regular season game. May have been. But if I remember right, if they're still in the same gymnasium, it was a small, compact gym.
Yeah, it is. That's the first time I'd ever been in there. But it's one of those, it's a little small cracker box gym. But when it gets filled up, I'm having it's fun. I enjoy the small little cracker box gym, especially when you're good. It gets loud in there when it's rocking, like at the end of the boys' games. But Coach Geyer can fill you in on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking about that, when you go to some of these smaller gyms, of course, we play in a huge gym. A big floor. Does it affect your kids or help your kids or affect the shooting, you know, being in a smaller environment, less space to work in?
Yeah, I think it makes it a little bit harder to execute offense. I don't know how much it affects, you know, actual shooting, unless you're playing like where depth perception is different. But unless you have less space to run your offense in, and theoretically it makes your press defense better just because the floor is smaller, you have less area to cover. But as far as actual shooting, people may tell you different, but I don't really believe it makes a difference as far as just straight outside shooting.
Yeah, I think the only place we play that really seems to affect us some is at McNary Central, where you got the round building, you got the stands behind the goals, and
where depth perception's off there. Yeah, I can see that impacting for sure.
Yeah, but you get a big win over Clifton, 43-11, and then you get to turn around and Walnut, Mississippi comes in and listen to some of that game. That was a back and forth game. Walnut, Mississippi, I don't think we played them in a while. We play a lot of these Mississippi teams, but the ones we play, they seem like they're really good basketball programs.
Yeah, there's North Mississippi from that's where I've grown up, is just a hotbed of high school basketball from just, but you could list off anyone, Tisch County, Belmont, so on and so forth. Walnut's been good. I think they went to think they lost in the state quarterfinals last year, so they've been historically good. And it was a back and forth game. I don't think we played that bad. I think we just got out of whack, and I don't think I coached my best that game. I think I take a lot of responsibility for that one. But they're not a bad team at all. Their defense is really good. I think they match up well with us. That's what I was talking to their coach before the game. And he's saying, I think we match up well. I think it's going to be a 5 or 6 point game either way. And I kind of agreed with him. And then I guess he can predict the future, because I think it was 4 or 5 6 point game, just not our ways.
Yeah, and you're talking about things you do during the game. A head coach has a lot of responsibilities. I mean, simple things is when to call the timeout at the right time, when to stop a run, when to go into a certain offense, certain defense. And you know, you're in your second year of being a head coach. It's a lot different there than being an assistant coach. You got a lot more responsibility on you.
Yeah, it is. And I think we see, and as a staff and as a team, we know how good we can be this year. Like, we're not even looking forward to the future, but this year we're just so we're so close to being really good, because you look back, and we're sitting at 1-3 right now. We could be 4-0. Like, we probably led 28 out of 32 minutes out of every game we played on average. And, same with Walnut. But the Walnut game was just, it was back and forth and back and forth. And they made some shots down the stretch, and we missed a few shots down the stretch. But overall, I would, you know, other than the scoreboard, I think on the huddle, I think we won in every statistical category other than turnover percentage in the fourth quarter and then points. I think we won in every statistical category except the one that matters there. So,
well, you know, I think the last time we talked, last Saturday, we talked about that. I mean, you know, with your team, even though you've got some kids that have played a lot of basketball, but they don't have a lot of experience because their first time playing, significant playing time was last year, and then going into this year. And, you know, you got to learn how to win. And people think that's crazy. But, you know, it does happen, and if you've ever played sports, you figure it out. I mean, there's just some teams that you – what's weird about sports and what's great about it, there's some teams that you play against that they may not be as good as you, but it's a bad matchup for you. Does that make sense to you because you've played? So, you know, it's the same thing with winning and losing. You know, the difference in winning a close game is that ability to have that confidence of knowing that, you know, we're going to pull this out.
Yeah, you got to expect to win, and that's what I'm telling these girls. Like, y'all have never been in a spot. Like, they sat around and looked around Tuesday just waiting on something, but not that they played bad. They just, you know, kind of expected, like, oh, what's going to happen now? How are we going to find a way to lose this one instead of, you know, expecting to win? There's just it's such a mental thing. I'm sold this is a mental thing, and we're in spots to win games, and you just got to go out there and do it from a to gain confidence. They've got to go win a close game. They don't need to win by 30. We need to win a 6 to 8 point game that goes back and forth just for confidence purposes, and get that out of the way, get the monkey off the back, and keep on rolling.
All right, let's take a time out. We're talking with Coach Brandon Kirk, Lady Tiger basketball head coach. And we'll take a look at the Adamsville game that was on Tuesday night, big rivalry game over there at Adamsville before we went to Thanksgiving break. We also will tell you what's ahead for the Tigers and Lady Tigers coming up in the next week. It's Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We'll be back with more from Brandon Kirk after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We're talking with Coach Brandon Kirk, talking some Lady Tiger basketball as Lady Tigers defeated Clifton on Saturday, lost to Walnut, Mississippi on Monday, and then headed over to Adamsville on Tuesday. And like we always say, Brandon, go to Adamsville, throw out the record books. It's a rivalry game. It's heated. Another small gymnasium with a lot of people packed in there, and a lot of excitement. Great atmosphere to play in, win or lose.
Yeah, it is. Like I told you before, I love the small little cracker box gym when it's packed out. When as long as you're not, you know, 20-point underdogs there. It's fun when it gets to rocking in there. That's one of the best feelings. I'd much rather win in the small little cracker box gym than I would in a big coliseum.
Well, you go over to Adamsville, and these two teams have gone at it for a long, long time. And we've got the better part of it the last few times. But we go over there, and looking at the score, 33-27 was a final. And listening to the game the other night, Bill on the call, just seemed like we just could not get a basket to fall. I mean, you want to think you're in control of that game for the better part of the game. You get a lot of opportunities. And, you know, you just have one of those nights that nothing right happens.
Yeah, it was disheartening, and it was disheartening. It's still disheartening. It's just I hate it for the kids because, I mean, they were in spots to succeed that whole night. You just – they want it so bad. We want it so bad for them. And then to watch us lose that way to where there's not anything as coaches as we could do there, because I think we were 10 for 20 from the free throw line. That doesn't help. And then we miss free throws too, like not just from a percentage-wise, but we'd be up – 5 or 6, and then several times you make them, you extend the lead to 8, where you're playing a little bit more relaxed. It gives these girls that don't have experience a little cushion to, hey, it's going to be okay if we mess up and we miss our free throws. So it's still a 5-point game. And that seemed to be the story. defensively, I mean, we can't ask for anything better. We had them in the 20s until we had to foul at the end. And went back and watched the second half over and over again. We just missed layups. There's no telling how many shots. I know exactly how many. I know it's way too many. But just uncontested layups at the rim, we've got to find a way to finish them, especially late in the game. Because you make a couple of those, it gives our underclassmen a little bit of breathing room to where they're not – the nerves don't pick up because you have an 8 or 9 point lead the same way it does, you know, 2-point game. The nerves are there. And it's just disheartening. But I tell them, I was like, look, you have led probably on average 28, 29, 30 minutes a game through the first 4 games of the season. We just got to go find a way to win a close one. It's not like you're turning it over at the end and giving it up, or there's defensive lapses. I think we only had 1 or 2 defensive lapses in the fourth quarter based on what I saw. You just got to go win a close one, and I hate it for them. I hate it with Adam for that beat us on a night that we couldn't make layups, but life goes on. They pick their heads up and walk out of that gym, and they'll remember it, and the good thing is that we get them again here in a month or so. So,
yeah, in a typical fashion, too, over there, a lot of times, like I said, you're in control of the game. Yeah, then it gets a lot closer toward the end, and their crowd gets into it. And then more times than not, they seem to hit, whether it's the men or the women, they seem to hit those threes over there at the right moment.
Yeah, that's the big thing. They didn't hit them all night. They came out, hit them in the final 2 minutes. I think they hit 2 of them in the final 2 minutes, and they threw up a couple little floaters in the middle of the lane that just bounced around 3 or 4 times and found its way into the hole, where we had a few that, you know, bounced around a couple times and did not go in. And that's the difference in a close game, and the atmosphere gets loud. And that's as a player and as a coach, that's what you want. You play for atmospheres like that. You don't play for empty gyms. I'd much rather score 10 points in a atmosphere like that and score 20 points in an empty gym. But our girls will remember it. They're ready to play them again. They know they gave that away. They wholeheartedly believe that there's a better team. And luckily for them, they'll get a chance to go back out there and prove it here in a month. So.
Well,
at least they do get to go back and turn around and play.
Well, the Lady Tigers lost a tough one over there, 33-27, going to Thanksgiving break. Back in action on Tuesday, as we'll go out of town again, head over to Central Alabama. Central Alabama, we owe them one. They got us over there last year. And then on Friday, Carroll Academy. But speak about Central Alabama as we head over there to play in another small but loud venue.
Yeah, again, it's they have a gym, a smaller gym, but they tend to pack it out. They're a basketball school, and it's been a fun atmosphere the years I've been over there. And I think it's a good chance for us to go and forget about the Adamsville game, because that's, you know, winning makes you forget the losses. That's what it is. That's the truth of it. So you forget the bad after you win. Winning solves a lot of problems. So hopefully we'll go out there and make some layups, hit off free throws, and hopefully our defense is just the same as it's been the last four games. Honestly, you can't really ask any more out of our girls defensively as far as effort and hustle and everything goes. So hopefully we'll take care of business there and get back on the right track and then roll into Harrell Academy rolls into here on Friday, and that's always a fun one as far as our students and faculty is concerned. And I know Carroll Academy enjoys coming over here just because of how we treat them, and that says a lot about our community and about our students.
Well, typically when they come over here, they're not about winning or losing games; they're just about playing games. But from a coaching standpoint, you know what? How hard is it to get your kids ready to play this type game, and when you know it really doesn't help you or hurt you any, but you're still playing a game where you could get in some bad habits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's exactly what I was about to tell you, is you're just trying to avoid bad habits, and whatever you got to do as a coach to avoid bad habits, you do it. Whether that means playing people that you hardly ever play, you just can't let bad habits develop. And even regardless of the score, if you see bad habits developing, you got to pull girls or call timeouts, and you just stress, do not play to the level of your competition. Make the most of the minutes while you're out there, because that's what makes a good team a great team, is not playing to the level of competition. And then, when you're out there, by all means, you'll have fun, but you're out there to play to the best of your ability, and then we'll sub you in and out if you see fit. And it's a tough one to get them to wake up for, but they tend to be excited about it every year that I've been here, even as a boys assistant. So we're looking forward to it, and they're looking forward to it, and hopefully we can avoid those bad habits you're talking about.
Yeah, and I was looking at the schedule for, as we get into December, we go over to Fayette Academy on December the 5th, Corinth, Mississippi at home, then back over to Scotts Hill. Teach County, very good basketball program over there on the 15th, and then we got the River City Classic coming up on the 21st through the 23rd. So there's a lot of good basketball ahead for the month of December.
There is. Like you said, I think our longest trip of the season is going to Fayette. And I know they had if I remember correctly, last year, I think they had a girl score almost 40 on us last year. So we owe them. I know she's graduated, but I know we owe them one there. And then Corinth beat us last year at the very end. So it feels like we led that whole game too. And I think we had a late turnover last year, and they laid it up and ended up beating us in the final seconds of that one. So we owe Corinth too, and then hopefully that gets us prepared to roll back into Scotts Hill, because we feel like our girls feel like we can compete and we can beat. I think we've showed that we can hang around with them. So we'll have another shot at them, and then Tisch County, arguably the best, definitely one of the best girls basketball teams in the state of Mississippi. So that'll be a good litmus test of where we need to be at, where we should strive to be at, and we'll see how we can compete down here, because that's 5 minutes away from my house. So we'll see how we compete there. I think we competed well against them last year, and hopefully we'll do the same. And then we roll into our Christmas tournament, and that's going to be 3 days of nonstop basketball that we're all excited about. We're excited to make that an annual thing, and hopefully we kick off year one really, really, really well.
All right, Brandon, I appreciate you giving us a little time on your Saturday morning. You've been up on the roof and putting out Christmas gifts, so you can go back to doing what you're doing, doing the honeydews. But
that's it. My fifth year anniversary, and I spent it putting up Christmas.
Well, it's all for her, so just do what you got to do. Keep peace. All right, man. We'll see you on Tuesday night. We'll be at Central Alabama. The girls will tip off at 6 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM. Brandon, have a, like I said, have a good weekend. I'll see y'all on Tuesday in Central Alabama. All right, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care. All right, that's Coach Brandon Kirk of the Lady Tigers. Coming up, we'll talk to Coach Ryan Geyer. We'll talk about the Tiger basketball as they play Clifton, Walnut, and Adamsville as well. More from Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell in on this beautiful Saturday morning here in Western Tennessee. Right here in Savannah, located on the banks of the Tennessee River. Let's bring in Ryan Geyer. Ryan, I went back. I wasn't here on Friday to do my Friday morning show, my rock show. So I'm making up for it this morning, bringing all you coaches in with good old rock and roll.
I always get introduced right, so whatever you play, I'm all about it.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to have the headphones on. Hey, I got us a big speaker in here now. We can listen to music when we're in break. So
that's right.
Yeah. So good to talk to you. It's been a while since I've got to see you guys, but off away out of town last week, so I missed all three of the games, but I did listen to Bill Sharp. He did an outstanding job over at Clifton, and then back home against Walnut, and then over at Adamsville. But let's go to Clifton and talk a little bit about that game. First of all, I think going into that game, they had a pretty good season last year, if I'm not wrong, correct?
They did. Last year, they won 25 games, went to sub-state. I believe McKenzie put them out. But a team that brought several key players back, their two leading scorers off that team. And, you know, Clifton's fired up about their boys' basketball program right now, and we knew that going in. And they're a good basketball team. It's really impressive what they can put out on the floor, being – as small of a school as they are. And, you know, we knew it was going to be a battle. A lot of our kids know some of their kids. And so we were looking forward to it. I know they were as well. And it turned out to be just a battle like we talked about last Saturday.
Yeah. And listening to the game, it was in between bottles and changing diapers. You got to get my perspective where I was at that point. But, right. Listening to the game, it was a back-and-forth game most of the night. Low-scoring game. So I guess my question is, since I wasn't there and really could get a feel for what was happening, was it a defensive struggle, or was it more that both offensive teams struggled a little bit from the floor?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think that Clifton came out and played a – extended 2-3 zone, kind of a matchup zone, and so it took a little bit of us getting them accustomed to seeing that. And you know, they run a lot of offensive sets on their end, and where they're patient with the basketball and kind of get the ball to the guys they want to get it to. And so it didn't surprise me that it was a low scoring game. I think that they did a really good job of making us just work clock on our offensive possessions, regardless, make or miss. We were just taking time off the clock, trying to figure out early in the game, hey, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're switching this, hey, high post is open, whatever that may be. It's a defense that, you know, we're not really accustomed to seeing. I talk about this. When you go past Walmart and you play those schools at Clifton and Collinwood and those area schools, they kind of play their style. And then West Tennessee, we've kind of got our style. And Mississippi, the schools we play down there, they've got their – so it's different styles, even though it's still high school basketball. So I think it just took a little bit of getting adjusted to. But, yeah, they did a really good job of just making us work consistently for shots. And we had a couple of kids out as well for us. So I think trying to save a little bit of legs and still getting football guys into shape, I think that played a factor as well.
Well, and listen to that game, it came down to the wire. And there was a lot that happened at the end of the game that I really couldn't kind of get a grip on what was going on. And Bill trying to figure it out as well. But what I do remember, old Tanner. I think he got his fifth foul with a few minutes to go in the game, and some officiating deals there. Like I said, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But anyway, we ended up finding a way to come back and win that game against a really good team. That's the one thing that I took out of that. That was a pressure situation. And like I talked with Coach Kirk, in a small gym, small community, proud of their team, they want to beat Hardin County, and you come out with a win.
Yeah. You know, Tanner Davis, he fouls out early in the fourth quarter. And then some things unfolded we won't get into today. But anyway, so we kind of backs against a wall early in the year. Tanner fouls out. Like I said, had a couple rotation guys already out due to sickness. And so, you know, JT Smith, he stepped up as a senior for us, a guy that has been in the fire a little bit last year. And then obviously this year, a guy – he made some plays. Jackson Burdine made some key plays down stretch and made free throws, some effort plays by some role guys. And we just found a way to win that game, kind of backs against the wall and doing it without Tanner for pretty much the entire fourth quarter. So I was proud of our guys. And like you said, that gym, I mean, they were chanting after the game, even after we beat. I mean, it was – they were fired up, you know, and they were excited for us to come over there. So – I'm glad we were able to pull that out and get an early season road win and in a close game and saw some things about our guys that we could take into the season.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, you know, playing those type games in kind of a hostile environment and coming out with a win and making shots and making free throws down the stretch, that holds well for you as you move forward. But we get the win over Clifton 45-43. Walnut, Mississippi comes to town, and listening to Bill, it seemed like it was pretty evenly matched as far as team-wise, matched up real good, but didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And I say that, we got 73 points, but we gave up 80.
Right, yeah, you talk about two different styles of play. Clifton kind of slow you down, run sets. Walnut tries to speed you up and play up and down. And they're not real deep, but their top seven guys can play. They've got some guys that can go. They had a kid score. They had two kids score in 20 over 20 against us. And then a couple weeks ago, the coach's son, he's a freshman. I don't think he had a field goal against us. He did have get to the free throw line, but he had 30 points against Tisch County. So, like, we knew going in they had more offensive firepower than probably the first two teams we had played. But I think we just started off a little sluggish due to some other circumstances. But, you know, we battled back, and then they just – every time we made a run, it was they made a big shot or got to the free throw line or whatever. And – the thing about – this is not an excuse by any means. The thing about those Mississippi schools is they start about 2 weeks before we do. So they've kind of figured themselves out a little bit more than we had up to that point. And, you know, they came in having – I don't know if they've ever been up here. Their coach was talking to me, hey, we need to keep this. This gym is great, easy drive up here. And so anyway, but they – they just outplayed us, really, made shots, made key plays. We battled back, but it was just a little too late. I think that if we could have started off a little better, it would have been a different outcome. But like we talk about, it's a learning process early, and still trying to figure a couple things out. But they, Walnut, credit to them. They are a good basketball team, and a team that brought a lot of guys back. And I knew that Coach Wilbanks was fired up about this team, and I can see why.
Well, the Tigers end up losing that game, like I said, 80-73, and then you got to turn around and go to Adamsville, big rivalry game. Before we get into that, let's take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. We're talking with Ryan Geyer, the head coach of Hardin County Tigers. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell, and with you on this beautiful Saturday morning. Get out. Well, I'm not going to get out and do anything. I was fixing to tell you a lie, like I was going to get out and do some Christmas decorations. But Ryan knows it's football day, it's rivalry football day. So I'm going to be in the house a lot today or outside somewhere watching games. But we go over to Adamsville on Tuesday night. Listened to some of that game as well, as much as I could. But Tigers kind of put it on them early, ran away with it, and ended up winning 74-33. So a surprising score to me in such a big rivalry game. And I know there was a lot of dynamics going into that game with a couple of your assistant coaches as well.
Yeah, you know, both of my assistant coaches had coached over there at Adamsville, you know, have one that is from Adamsville. So they kind of put a little different perspective on it as well. But, you know, like we had talked about Walnut, we kind of started off a little sluggish. I think part of that, like I said, due to some other circumstances, but that's something that we had stressed going into the Adamsville game. Don't let it linger. Don't let it linger. Pedal to the metal from the get-go. And that's what we did off the opening tip. And, you know, just being able to build a lead and then sustain the lead, I thought was impressive. And like you talk about early in the year, you look at different things. You look at different lineups, different situations. And so, you know, played a close one against Clifton, played one against Walnut where we're kind of down from the get-go and you got to battle back. And then you play against Adamsville where we jump out to basically a 20-point lead in the first quarter, but we don't ever let it creep back in. And we sustain it and also extend it. And not just our starters, but our second group and some bench guys came in and helped extend that lead. And so I was just proud of them for that. You know, we've got really good kids. If you watch our bench from 1 to – we've had a couple guys out due to injury, but 1 to 13, our guys, it may be Tanner Davis or Jackson Burdine, but it could also be some guys that – are younger, and they come in, and our leaders are standing up, clapping for them. And that's stuff you take out of a game where the score may be inflated a little bit. It's just little stuff. And so I'm proud of our guys for that as well. But, yeah, just coming out and pedal to the metal and keeping the foot on the gas and not letting up early and letting them creep back in the game is something that I was proud of.
Yeah, and it's always good to beat Adamsville, especially over there. And like I was talking with Coach Kirk, it's a small venue, a small gymnasium as well, packed out. They want to beat us. We want to beat them. So the atmosphere may be one of the best that we play in all year long. I know we get into some district stuff, but I don't think anything rivals these two teams getting together.
Yeah, you know – we played in two really good environments already at Clifton and Adamsville. So I think that will prepare us for the season as it goes on. And like you talk about district tournament and as postseason rolls around. But Adamsville's always a fun place to play. Coach Barton over there, he's got those guys playing hard. They picked up a win against Collinwood last week, so they can play. I think we just came out and said we're not letting this happen tonight, and that's what we did. So I'm proud of our guys, and you know, just from an overall aspect, top to bottom, coaches as well, and it was nice getting that going into Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, and we'll get back in action on Tuesday night after a break, and then the season starts rolling along, and then we'll get another break at Christmas, and then, man, before you know it, we're going to be in January and right in the middle of district games. But Central Alabama over there, tough place to play. They've had some really good teams over there. Their coach, you know, played under Rory. And this has kind of become a little bit of a rivalry too. It got a little snippy last year over there, but a good program nonetheless. And then Carroll Academy on Friday.
Yeah, Central, like you said, since Coach Karp was back, he got Coach Josh Bryant down there on the schedule, and we've kept him on ever since. And we've had some dead-gum battles against them since I've been back as a coach. And last year, they beat us by one down there, so we kind of owe them one. And he lost some guys. He's got some young guys stepping up into new roles, and they've won some games early. So you know, they're always going to be well prepared and well coached. So we've got to go down there and just keep working on us and striving to what our ultimate goal is. But another place that's not easy to play. So our first three road games are against teams that where the fan base is into the game from the jump. So it'll be a good experience for us. And then got Carroll Academy on Friday, a team that we've played several years in the past. Have not played them probably the past two or three years maybe, but, you know, they just something kind of for our kids and our staff and student body, some people that don't get to see our teams play and some kids that don't that get to see that. So we look forward to that too as well.
Well, I'll ask you the same question I asked Coach Kirk. How difficult is it to coach that game on Friday from a standpoint of, you know, you want to try to run your offense, try to run your defense, try to do some things, but also you don't want to embarrass anybody, especially this team that's coming over. You want to play a lot of kids, and so you don't want to get any bad habits either.
Right, yeah, you don't want to create any bad habits, but you just stress that importance of when you're in the game or whoever that may be, that you're playing the game the right way and you're playing the way the game we play it. And you know, the big thing is you get some kids that in our school that may never get to see us play get to see us play, and I think that's a big deal. And we've always supported them. Our staff and students do a great job of supporting Carroll Academy as well, so it makes it for a good environment. But yeah, you just stress it, man. This is no matter who's in, starters, role guys, bench guys, everybody's playing until you're pulled out, just like you would be playing any game. So you know, we're working on us, and we try to do that when that game's going on.
All right, Ryan, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your Saturday and traveling, and safe travels. Hey, if you want to hang around just a minute, I'm going to go over some football stuff from high school last night and then take a look at some football games that are coming up today if you got just a few minutes.
Yeah, I do. Sounds good.
All right, man, hang in there. Let's take a quick timeout, about a one-minute break, and take a legal ID, and we'll be back with more from Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. As winding down on this Saturday, Coach Ryan Geyer is in with us as the Tigers went 2-3 over the right before Thanksgiving break. And then we'll head over to Central Alabama on Tuesday. You can catch it all right here on 93.5 FM, starting with the ladies tipping off at 6 and the men to follow. So be sure to mark that down. Let's look at some high school football scores in the semifinals last night. Alcoa defeated Giles County 38-7. That's the third year in a row, Ryan, that Giles County has lost to Alcoa in the semifinals.
Yeah, just Alcoa is a juggernaut in high school football in Tennessee. But Giles County, very impressive year once again, and a team that we'll get to see again next year, I believe.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, we defeated them over here in a really good football game. They didn't lose another game after that, except until last night. So
yeah, they're a really good team. If I remember, backfield was young, so I'm sure they'll be in the mix again next year.
And then Haywood got beat 48-20 last night. I listened to a little bit of that game. Like I said, I'm a degenerate, so – I listened to some of that game. I'm going around flipping, trying to find high school games to listen to. I'm comparing our broadcast with everybody else, Ryan. But
well, we've got the top notch in West Tennessee, so it'll be hard to compete with.
Yeah, them. Yeah, I know. Pearl Cone won. You know, that game was pretty close. I thought that that would be a little better ball game. And in the first half, it was, I think it's 21-14 maybe at half. Something like that. And then the second half, Pearl Cone just absolutely blew them out. And Haywood's a really good football team. But McKenzie, they came back and defeated Dresden 25-14. And then Riverside, we were just talking about them. Riverside, 32, Fairley 14. And Riverside going back to play for a state title in Chattanooga. They've got a really good program, really good thing going over there the last couple of years.
They do. We're in the state championship last year, and I believe it was a one-possession game. They had the ball driving to try to tie the game or win it. I can't remember for sure, but, yeah, just impressive what they do going back. And then McKenzie won it last year, I believe, and they're back in the state championship. So two teams that are familiar with it and both looking to bring back a gold ball.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a look at your high school scores. The SEC today, of course, like I said, it's rivalry week. We'll look at top 25. But Texas A&M and LSU at 11. Alabama-Auburn, Iron Bowl at 2:30. Florida State-Florida, I think that's going to be a really good game. And Florida may just get them. Of course, Florida State lost their quarterback. That's at 6 tonight. Georgia and Georgia Tech at 6:30. Clemson at South Carolina, 6:30. Kentucky and Louisville, that's an interesting matchup too. That's on at 11. And then our game here at 2:30 will be Tennessee hosting Vandy. Other games earlier, Ole Miss defeated Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl on Thursday night, 17-7, in an ugly game. That was an ugly game too. And then yesterday, Missouri may be for real. Arkansas, not very good. 48-14 over Arkansas. But some good matchups coming in the top 25 as well. As you got Ohio State and Michigan, I guess. We were talking about that one a little bit a few minutes ago. What's your perspective on that one? What do you think? I think Michigan is favored by 3 going into that game.
Yeah, well, like you were talking about, as far as all the off-the-field stuff that's been going on with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh and Ohio State playing a part in that, and you add some more bad blood into one of the best rivalries in college football. So in a game with playoff implications as well, it should be a good one. But I want to roll with the Wolverines at home and go to the playoff. Well, I say that Big Ten championship first, but from what we saw the other day, I don't know how much of a game that will be against the Iowa Hawkeyes, but I'll take Michigan today to win and be in the playoff this year.
And you got Washington State at Washington, of course, their quarterback at Washington trying to get in the Heisman race. I watched Oregon and Oregon State last night. Bo Nix, man, what a turnaround of a kid that was down at Auburn, struggled. I mean, just had all kind of problems. Of course, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know, but his dad played down there, you know, that Nix family, and had a lot of high hopes of him coming in. He transfers out last year, goes to Oregon, and, I mean, he's right in the middle and could possibly win the Heisman Trophy. He's had an unbelievable last five games. I think he's thrown 20-something touchdowns in the last five games.
Yeah, a kid that – he's one of those that's been around forever, but a guy that's improved every year and has Oregon in the mix. And, yeah, just impressive what he's been able to do this year, no question.
Watched your Memphis boys the other night. They had their chance against SMU. SMU, pretty good football team. Memphis just couldn't get over the hump on that one.
No, battled back a little too late. Ended up getting a win yesterday at Temple, finishing 9-3 on the year. But would have liked to get that one last week and win the championship for sure.
Yeah, well. Man, it's a fun time of year. If you love college football, today is your day. Growing up as a kid, I used to love these kind of days and all these rivalry games. And a lot of times they don't pan out, do they, too well. They're blowouts, but then you get a lot of really good games as well. So there's going to be a lot of people watching that Michigan-Ohio State game, though, I think, at 11.
Yeah, that's game of the day for sure. Another one that you had mentioned earlier, Florida State, with Jordan Travis going out for Florida State, and they get bumped down to number 5 in the playoff rankings. So we'll see if they come out with a vengeance and pick up a win against the Gators in that rivalry game too. But it'll be that's another one I've kind of got my eye on today as well.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. And you know, what in the world were they doing playing UNA?
I don't know. Which I like Florida State with Coach Mike Norvell, who was at Memphis. I pull for them too. So I don't know, especially that late in the year and George Travis getting hurt. But next man up, we'll see. We've seen it happen before. 2014 Ohio State, Cardale Jones comes in. They win the championship. Not saying that's going to happen, but it can be done. So we'll see if Florida State has any magic and can sneak into the playoff.
Well, hopefully it'll be a good Saturday football. Ryan, I appreciate you taking a little bit of your time. Hey, I want to tell you real quick, you're a sports guy. Watched a document me and Brett did the other day, a documentary, not for last, Barry Sanders. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
You need to watch that. If you're a football fan, if you can go back, for some of you young guys, who's Barry Sanders? Go back and check him out, one of the greatest running backs in the NFL. Go watch that documentary. It's interesting on his career, but what the interesting part is how he approached football, how he approached his life, and how he controlled what he wanted to do. And, you know, he ended up retiring early and caught everybody off guard. They go, well, you know, he just kind of said, okay, I'm done. And the weird thing is he did it by fax. No hoopla, no press conference, no nothing. He just faxed the Detroit Lions head office. Hey, you know, thanks for everything, but I'm not playing anymore.
And then I saw a thing. I saw a thing yesterday. I think he has the most, I'll say explosive, but 10 plus yard rushing touchdowns, 20 yards, 30 yards, all the way up to 50 plus yards. I think he leads the NFL history in all those categories. And a guy that, like you said, at the top and just decides he's done. Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, you need to watch that. I'll say this real quick. The kind of person he was 9 yards away from being the leading rusher in the NFL. I forgot what season it was, 9 yards away, and he took himself out of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that all through this series.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to watch that. Seems very interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Very interesting guy, but go check that out while you're doing things over the weekend. But I think it's on Netflix. I think it's what we were on. That or Prime. I can't remember. But anyway, Ryan, appreciate it. Have safe travels back. And see you on Tuesday night as the Tigers and Central Alabama will hook up right here on 93.5 FM starting at 6 p.m. WKWXFM.com or the WKWX app. Enjoy your Saturday. That'll do it for us. I want to thank Coach Brandon Kirk and Coach Geyer. And all of our listeners and, of course, our sponsors and Kristen over at the station. Have a great Saturday. Enjoy your football Saturday and go Vols.